Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jim, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries in sunny today, right now, Clearwater, Florida. Although I understand it is raining around about 3 miles south of here.
That is correct.
I take it you came up from the south.
But it wasn't too bad. No, it wasn't just a little sprinkle.
Okay, good, good. That's kind of how the weather is down here. It rains on one side of the street and the other side's dry. But I just want to welcome everybody to our radio broadcast, Living the Good Life. Normally, you see Pastor Marcia, our senior pastor, sitting here. She is with family today, so I am sitting in. And joining me will be Betty Thomas from Indiana and Nathan Burton from right here in Tampa. So they'll be joining by phone. So we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to a really, really good show today. Again, I just want to welcome everybody and remind everyone that we are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are currently meeting at 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North, basically right at the corner of U.S. 19 and Drew. We do sit a little back off of U.S. 19. We're not right on it, but the best way to get there is to go to our website, which is bohmglobal.com. And there's a great map on there. Maxine, our webmaster, has put a wonderful map on there. So we have that. It's much easier to use that map and to be able to find the church. We have services on Sunday morning at 10:30. That's our worship service. And we also have a Wednesday night prayer service starting about 6:15. And that goes until 7. We read prayers out of the Prayers That Avail Much book. We take prayer requests. We'll pray for those. And then starting at 7 till about 8:30, we have Bible study, and it's very interactive. People come by right after work. Some people bring their dinner. We get into the Bible. We share, and it's very interactive. People talking, sharing with each other. And Pastor usually fills up our large 20-foot blackboard. Well, it's a whiteboard. She can usually fill that completely up by the end of the evening. So, let's see, is Betty? Betty's on. Hey, Betty.
Hi, Pastor Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. We're just about in the same situation you are down there weather-wise, sunny, but we're expecting rain here shortly.
Oh, good. Just rain or those wonderful Indiana thunderstorms?
Well, let's just hope that it's just rain.
Oh, yes.
When it seems like in the last few weeks when we've had a thunderstorm, it's been a doozy.
I remember all too well. I remember. The only time I ever saw a real tornado was in, of course, Indiana. So don't ever want to have to see another one.
No, those are, praise God, I've never seen one. We've been close, but I've never actually seen one, and I hope that I never do.
Oh, yeah, it's, from a distance, they're pretty magnificent looking, but I don't ever want to be up close, so.
No, me neither, neither.
Well, welcome, Betty. It's great to have you on today. We are going to be talking, kind of following up with what Pastor's been teaching at our Wednesday night Bible study, which has been frontline fighters. And as Christians, whether we like it or not, we are called to be on the front lines. Each one of us is called to do battle. and we can choose not to and kind of try and sit on the sidelines. But God has a higher calling for us. He wants us to be in the battle. And we've talked about so much on Wednesday nights. And what I wanted to kind of focus in on today is, in these last times, what do we need in order to maintain ourselves as frontline freedom fighters for Jesus? So that's kind of going to be where we're headed today. Got saved basically by reading prophecy and all that, and you know, end times and all that stuff. So I have always loved biblical prophecy. I've always loved studying end times, and call me crazy, but it never once scared me. Once I knew what I was talking about. So I heard that, Betty. I know growing up as a child, the neighbors down the street, and I don't know whether they meant to or not, but they would terrify me as a kid with, you know, how the world's going to burn up and it's just going to be horrible. But that's not exactly what the Bible says. So that's one thing I do want to talk about today, is maybe clearing up some misconceptions, because people look at the return of Jesus as the end of the world when it's really the end of the age. And that's, it's a difference, maybe a subtle difference to some people, but it is a difference. How would you kind of look at those two different things, the end of the world and the end of the age, Betty?
Well, I think that at the end of the age, you know, we're all going to be, you know, the ones who are followers of Christ and who have stood strong through this age will all be swept up and, you know, in the blink of an eye. And that's why it's so important. And when you sent that message out that we were going to talk about the end times, is that a lot of people think that, you know, the world's just going to blow up and that's the end of us, but that's not the way it is. There's going to be, as the Bible calls it, there's going to be birthing pains, just like, you know, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and so forth. And that's the end of the age when God comes back, and then that's when the old devil takes over and rules for, Pastor Jim, you'll have to forgive me because it's been a long time since we've actually studied the book of Revelation. And then now in Mark and Luke, Matthew and Luke has made it so much more clear that we'll be caught up, we'll be reigning with Jesus, and that's where I want to be, as I'm going to be the first one on the bus out of here, so to speak.
I feel that. Good. All right. Well, we're going to go to our first song, which I think will pretty well set the mood. We Shall Behold Him by Sandy Patty.
The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him.
I just love that song. And it just, it speaks of what Betty was, you were talking about before, is that there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to return and we're going to be called home, either from the grave if we've already passed on, or in, you know, in this body. And there's so much to do before then. And I think some people look at the end times as a time to be fretful and fearful. And I want to start by reading some verses out of Matthew chapter 24. And I'm reading these from, believe it or not, the King James version of the Bible, starting with verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall all these things be, and what will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of the sorrows." So no matter what your views, and for our listeners, you know, those of you that, you know, who've been in church for a while, you know that there are different views on when Jesus is actually going to come back for the church. But it doesn't really matter what your views are on that, when the rapture is going to take place. Jesus said this is taking place before anything else happens. And I read this today, Betty, and it says, I love this in verse 6, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you be not troubled." And that part, "see that you be not troubled," really stood out to me. Because I think so often we get very troubled by what we see going on. And I think we sometimes forget who's really in control.
Well, and if you are currently watching, you know, the news reports, it can make you become very fearful. But the word, like it says, keep your head and don't panic. Because this is no sign of the end. It's just, this is what we were talking, I was talking about earlier about the birth pains,
mm-hmm.
is that these are the beginning of the end. And what it means there is that, you know, when you said nation will fight against nation, famines and earthquakes will, you know, occur in various places. And what it says in the Message Bible, this is nothing compared to what is coming. And I think what Satan has, this is his, he's getting down to the point where he's grasping at straws to try to interject fear into people, into thinking that, oh, you know, Christ says he's coming back, he's not going to come back, you're going to be living, you know, this type of life the rest of your life, you know, don't even try to worship, you know, worship him. And that's where we have to come out of the darkness, and we've got to come into the light so that we understand that there is no fear when you know Jesus. There is no condemnation. There is nothing to worry about, because when we see him face to face, what Sandy Patty was singing, what a glorious day that will be. And that is nothing to be afraid of, Pastor Jim. It's something that we as Christians basically look forward to.
Oh, amen, amen. And you mentioned coming into the light and walking in the light. And that, oddly enough, was what I wanted to talk about part of. Because you read these verses and it looks like pretty much gloom and doom. And we're also going to get into the verses right after this. Also, I mean, and obviously, you know, Paul said in the last times, perilous, heart-wrenching times will come. And it's going to be bad. It's going to be very bad. You read through the book of Revelation and see the judgments, the things that will be happening on the earth. It's going to be bad. But, and, you know, it's going to look like a lot of darkness, and not only just in the world, but spiritual darkness. There will be a great, you know, Paul said, there'll be a great falling away. So mm-hmm. it's going to get pretty dark. But I want to read this, these verses out of Isaiah chapter 60, and then I want to jump forward to Revelation, and then I want to kind of chew on those, all these verses for a little while. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will also arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And one of my favorite verses is this one, and kind of its companion verse in the Gospel of John. Okay, that light, you know, the light shines in the darkness, mm-hmm. and the darkness cannot overpower it. It does, Amen. You know, it doesn't matter how dark it gets around us. We have the light of Christ living in us. And it says, our light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. I mean, think about that. That's that glory that went visibly with the Israelites all through the wilderness. That's the glory that fell in the temple so that the priests, I mean, it knocked the priests over. They couldn't stand up to do their priestly duties. That's what resides within us and rises upon us. Pretty cool, huh?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, as when I got your email yesterday or day before yesterday, I just pondered, you know, what it's going to be like in the last days, you know, if this earthly body stays here and is able to see Christ come back in this age, is that, you know, I have all these things that I wanted to tell him, you know, but would I be able to, in this song, would I be able to even stand before him? Will I be able to even, you know, will I dance? Will I sing? What will I do when Christ comes back? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, Pastor Jim, and he said, why can't you do that now? And, you know, why are people not singing? Why are people not rejoicing? Because I am, you know, the Jesus doesn't even know when the time's come. The only one that knows is the Father.
Right.
So the light that lives in us, that we should be rejoicing, we should be singing praises to God, and not standing around on the sidelines waiting for someone else to do it. And it's so amazing to me that the Lord gave even, or that God gave Daniel years ago, you know, many, many thousands of years ago, gave Daniel the same insight to what was coming. And I just, I have to, when I hear that song that you just played with Sandy Patty, it makes me, it gives me goosebumps to think that one day we'll look up into the eastern sky and see our Lord coming back. And it still, you know, the cross where he crucified brings me to tears. And when he comes back, of how great that light is going to be, mm-hmm. that men will see him from all across, in the entire world will be able to see him coming
and
back.
And every eye shall see him.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's so amazing. And it just, it really shows the kind of God we serve. I mean, you know, I think, too, there's a verse in Revelation. It's one of the, I think it's the fifth seal where the locusts are released. And, you know, those demonic locusts to go and torment people without, who don't, you know, have the seal of God for 5 months. And it says, yet they were prepared for the year, the month, the day, and the hour. You know, God has it under control. Everything is timed. Everything is in his hands. And I think what scares so many people and why they tend to still want to grope about in the darkness is because they don't maybe trust God enough or believe that he really does have everything under control. And we know, you know, I mean, in a world that looks like it's spinning out of control, I mean, just even the newspaper today, you know, just all around the world, craziness going on.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, it all fits the, it all fits in the quilt of God's plan. You know, we kind of, and I like, it's a reference to what Corrie ten Boom said. You know, we tend to look at the underside of the quilt where all the threads are, you know, sticking out and crossing each other, and it just looks like a mess. But God sees the quilt from the other side, the finished product. And that's kind of where we need to remember to get our perspective. Because, yeah, if I concentrated, I know if I concentrated on how bad things were in the world, and this war and that war and this uprising and, you know, this earthquake, this plague, you know, whatever, I would lose hope in the natural. I understand, you know, Luke writes that Jesus said, you know, men's hearts will fail them for fear. I get that. You know, I understand that, because if I didn't know who was in control, I'd be kind of acting crazy too.
Well, and you know, I think that you're right on there, because people have a tendency, I mean, the Bible says, don't worry, don't panic. And if Jesus tells us not to panic, then I think that that pretty well states it right then and there, is that we have to learn to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
He has, you know, he has the clock. He is the one telling us, and it's not like Pastor Jim that he's not telling us to be prepared. He's been preparing us for years to get ready. You know, the harvest is great. Get out there, show your light, let your light be seen. And we have a tendency to put it under wraps and not let anyone know, oh, I'm a, you know, she's a born-again Christian, she's crazy, you know. But that's where he's preparing us, don't you think?
Absolutely.
For what lies ahead, so that fear and that worry will be have less impact on us than if we weren't prepared at all.
Right, and that's what I wanted to talk about this particular subject. You know, like I said, Pastor Marsh has been talking about frontline freedom fighters. And that's exactly what we are. We can't hide it under a bushel. You know, we're to be that city set on a hill so that everybody can see it. And you know, going back to the verses in Isaiah, God said, kings will come to the light of your glory. Nations will come to the light of your glory. In the midst of all the darkness, we're going to have the light. We're going to have the truth. We're going to have God working miracles. And people are going to want to come to that. People are going to be drawn to that. Now, obviously not, you know, not everybody, you know, because there will be some who are still going to resist. We know that, unfortunately. But people are going to see God in us, working in us, God's love in us, and going to want to have that, because we're going to be the ones who are stable. You know, Isaiah says, you know, Lord, you're the stability of my times. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to remember. God is the stability of our times, not any political party, not the government, not even quote unquote the church. It's God who is the stability of our times. You know, God's the only one we can truly depend on in these days.
Well, you're exactly right, because we can't lean into our own understanding, because we become confused. We can actually turn the wrong way. And we've talked about this, I think, numerous times on the radio and even in pastors' messages and your messages, is that it's total surrender, is that we cannot give in to worry, doubt, and fear, because it does not come from God.
Mm-hmm.
And cannot stress that enough, is that God's in control. If we give him full control, then Pastor Jim, we don't have anything to worry about. And we have to, you know, follow that straight line. Don't, you know, it's hard. It's hard to talk about this to people that are, because I mean you'll get an argument right away when you start talking about, you know, the end times in the book of Revelation, because what you talked about, you know, a little bit ago is about what people believe. And the only thing that I'm looking for is, you know, everybody has their right to their opinion, most definitely. But all I know is that I trust in one God and one God only, mm-hmm. and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And you know, the one thing that the point I like to make is, even if the rapture comes before the tribulation, right here, Jesus said it's going to be bad even before that time. You know, there's going to be some nastiness going on. But you had mentioned a little while ago, again, what a wonderful, you just like know what I'm going to say, about, you know, a revival and a harvest. And that's part of it, is that we need to be frontline freedom fighters to help bring in that end times harvest, because there's going to be, you know, a separation. One of the parables that Jesus said in Matthew 13 was the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. And one of the things that's going to happen is God's going to send his angels out to remove from the kingdom. And that kind of popped out to me the last time I saw that. The people that shouldn't be there, the stumbling blocks and such. But he's going to remove them from the kingdom. There's going to be a great separation. And that's, you know, I see that as the light. Because John says in his gospel that, you know, men, people who do the truth are going to come to the light. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not everybody's going to do that. But there will be a great harvest at the end of the age. And I just want to flip over to Revelation chapter 7.
Okay.
And verse 9. After this is John talking. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." And then I love this. One of the elders comes up and asks John, "Well, who are these people?" Now, the elder, you know, the elder had to know perfectly well who these people were. And John said, "Well, sir, you know." And then he says, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation." So there's going to be this huge harvest at the end of the age. And God has called us to prepare ourselves to plant the seed, help it to grow, and then bring in the harvest. Mm-hmm. And we have to be ready for that.
We know that's what I can see people sitting here listening going, "Well, that's not my job." One of the things that God told me many years ago is that I was to pray. And I'm not one to go out and save the world. I've never felt doing that. But as time gets closer, my heart starts to get just a little bit more stronger to be able to start witnessing to people. And when people have tried everything that they can, I want them to try my Jesus, because he is the one that we are to worship. We're not to worship idols. We're not to worship anything else but him and keep him number one, so that when the time does come, Pastor Jim, because I've noticed that in the last few years just around in this geographical area that people don't attend church like they should. That they, I don't want to call it a falling away, but people just aren't intrigued enough to want to get involved in a ministry or a church because they've been hurt or they've been deceived or whatever. But that time has come to let the past be the past and let us be the fishers of men that, you know, Jesus called the disciples to be, because we are disciples here on this earth and we are called to go out and bring people in. And if we don't do it, Pastor Jim, who's going to do it? Jesus wants us all together living in that great big house that he's built for all of us. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it?
Amen. Amen. And I understand Nathan has joined us.
Hello.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey, Pastor Nathan.
Jim. Hey, darling.
How are you, sweetie?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just wonderful. I'm just sitting here talking about the end times with Pastor Jim and now you. So, you know, it doesn't get any better than that.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Well, and again, Betty, you brought up something, and I want to just kind of back up what you said with Scripture. In Romans chapter 10, some of course, everybody's favorite verses, starting with verse 14, how will they call on him whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Yeah, that's so wonderful. And, you know, that's so true. And I think sometimes we think we can just sit back and not do, you know, well, I'll let my light shine passively. And a lot of times that's just an excuse for saying, I get it. I get being scared to witness. I get the nervousness. I've been there. It can be nerve-wracking, right, Nathan? You know?
Yes, it can be.
You know, but what happens, though, Nathan, when you ask God to give you maybe someone to talk to about Jesus, or, you know, God put somebody in my path today that I can share the gospel with? What happens then?
Well, God brings somebody into your path. Someone comes along that has a need, either that they want you to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they want to know about Jesus.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing when it happens.
Mm-hmm. It is very, very cool. And, yeah, and, you know, that's kind of that's one of those dangerous prayers. Oh, mm-hmm. Lord, bring somebody into my path so I can, you know, tell them
right.
about
exactly.
you today. Well,
exactly.
That's one prayer he's probably going to answer.
Yes, for sure.
You know, so you need to be ready for that. But, you know, what we've all been saying is we have been called, you know, Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Even if that's not your gift, do the work of an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early centuries of the church, people just couldn't keep quiet. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't shut up. And mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons the church spread so quickly. I mean, look at Paul. I mean, he just couldn't keep quiet about Jesus.
No, he couldn't.
And
he traveled far and wide.
And it got him into trouble a number of times. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. That's what we're called to do, because we all have a part to play in the revival that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first thing, like Betty, you mentioned, you know, kind of your prayer ministry. We need to pray. That, you know, I saw it on Facebook, and it's one of my pet peeves, not the verse I'm about to quote, but how people misuse it.
Mm.
You know, the 2 Chronicles 7:14, we all know that verse. If my people who are called by my name
shall
humble themselves
and pray
and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways,
yeah.
then I will turn to them and heal their land. Well, that, of course, popped up on Facebook over July 4th. And, you know, one of the comments just upset me, you know, oh, yeah, God will deliver us from, and they named, well, they named the president. And, okay, that just really irritated me. So I got on my little, you know, I'm typing on my little phone. And I said, first of all, I just want to remind people, this is not a scripture for the heathen. Okay? That scripture was for the saved. If my people, and who's God's people today? The church.
That's right.
If the church will humble itself and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And, you know, and that just, and I said, you know, it's not talking about the heathen. Not talking about the unsaved. It's talking about the church. We That's need right. to turn from our wicked ways. And, you know, whatever maybe secret sins are going on. But I also think there's, you know, the big stuff like hypocrisy and just a judgmental attitude. There's so much that, you know, the church has, you know, needs to do that. And really, I mean, all of us, myself included, just really need to buckle down and seek God's face, because the revival is coming and I want to be a part of it. I want to be instrumental in bringing that to pass.
Amen.
So,
well, you know, there's a, I've noticed that a lot of things on the social media sites that people are professing their beliefs and they're being fired for just saying, you know, have a blessed day. They're being turned away because of their beliefs. And this is part of what's going to be happening, too, is that when we as Christians, we as people who love Jesus are going to start seeing is that you may be rejected at some point, but that gives you the umption to go on and keep ministering to people, because even though you think they rejected you, you may have planted a seed that you don't even know anything about, and that it will continue to grow in that person that you minister to.
Right, right. Well, that's so true. And actually, I want to touch on that in a few minutes. And just keeping in mind that we've been talking about revival, I just want to go to our next song, which is Revival Fire Fall by Paul Baloche.
Your fire fall, send your wind and your rain on your wings of love. As we lift up your name, let your kingdom come. Have your way in this place. Let your will be done. Pour out from heaven your passion and presence. Bring down your burning desire. Revival fire.
Oh, great song. Great song. And that should be our prayer, that God would send the revival fire, that that fire would fall, because, you know, God has said there's going to be a harvest, and we just can't sit back. And, I mean, he's called us to active duty. Frontline freedom fighters. He's called us to active duty. We can do nothing less than obey and get out there and do it. And, you know, I made the comment before, it can be a little scary, you know. Pastor and I both were in Campus Crusade for Christ when we were at the same college years apart, but we were both in the same organization, and they taught you, and it was kind of cut and dried, but they taught you how to witness, and which is okay, except quite honestly, I was out there witnessing before I was even saved. I thought I was. I mean, you know, I grew up in church, but I came to know the Lord several times at church camp. So I probably was already saved. I wasn't doing much about it. And I just hadn't really committed my life to the Lord. But through that ministry, I did. But, you know, my point is, that was one way of witnessing. I mean, I loved it because you had this little, you know, spiritual questionnaire that you would ask people in the residence hall, in the dorm. Could I ask you a few questions about your, you know, about spirituality and that kind of thing? And that felt a little safer. But sometimes, like you said, Nathan, if we ask God to put somebody in our path, he's going to do it. And it may not be something we can be just as cut and dried about. You know, I've actually had a couple people come up to me at work and, you know, ask me to pray for them. And, okay, what am I going to say? No. Obviously, yes, I will. I've said, well, and I would talk about the prayer ministry, and I said, I'll pray for you now, and I'll send out a prayer request. And you know, that's a way, you know, that's a way to witness to people. And, you know, praise God. You know, we're going to see tremendous fruit from that. But like, you know, like the song said, you know, we need to ask God to send the revival fire. You know, as it quoted from Isaiah chapter 60, let the glory of the Lord rise upon us so that people will see us. And I think also, not just so they can see our light, but you know, and I know you've both had these experiences, when the anointing just rises up within you, what happens? What happens to you both? All right, Betty, we'll start. I was going to say, Betty, we'll start with you.
Okay, thank you. One of the things that it does is that it puts you in high gear. It's like having nitrous oxide.
laughing gas?
And all right. Yeah. You know, the whatever the nitro, what is it that propels you, what propels these fast cars?
Oh, nitro. Yeah, nitroglycerin.
Nitro. And it just, there's something that the Holy Spirit just wells up inside of you, and you just take off in high speed, just take off in high gear. And it gives you an opportunity to do the things that God has called you to do, because you have that intense desire to want to please the Lord and also to see people won for Christ. And that's the only way I can describe it, is without sounding totally idiotic, is that it puts you, it lifts you up. It gives you, it just blesses my soul to be able to do that. I mean, just a blessings above blessings beyond anything I could even comprehend.
Wow. Okay. Now,
me, a holy boldness comes over me. And then I know that the Lord is with me, the Lord is in me, and he is inspiring me and giving me the words to say, you know, and I can recount to them the many blessings that the Lord has given to me, has done for me, and how he will do it for them. if they receive Christ as a Savior, how they could have a new life in Him, a life that's so much better, so much mm-hmm. so different from the life they're now living. You know, just the holy boldness comes over me, just, you know, just to witness for Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Need Jesus.
and I like that because you're both a little different. You know, when the anointing rises up, because God uses each one of our personalities differently.
Yes, he does.
With me, it's kind of a holy boldness, but I tend to, I'd say I just like catch fire, mm-hmm. like the torch, you know, flame on. I know what you're thinking, Nathan. But I get on fire and it's like all what I need to say just seems to be there.
Yes.
You know, and I praise God for that because I tend to have a pretty analytical mind. So God, and he promised in Luke that he, you know, when we're called to witness, he'll give us the words. And what mm-hmm. did Jesus say in Acts? You shall receive power. Mm-hmm. to be my witnesses. Mm-hmm. You know, he empowers us through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing, to be his witnesses everywhere.
And isn't it wonderful how he gives you exactly what to say mm-hmm. to the person that you're talking to? It speaks specifically to that person.
Right.
Their need.
Right.
And it opens the door.
Right. And it could be the gift of discerning of spirits. It could be gift mm-hmm. of knowledge, word of knowledge, prophecy. You know, God will move in you and give you whatever you need to be able to touch another person's life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've been down and being able to worship with both of you have a gift that only God would give to you two, and one of them is a spirit of compassion. And to see both of you witness and see both of you lay hands on people and watch them recover, watch mm-hmm. them rebound from maybe things that have tormented them for years. They've been set free. The chains have been broken. So, you know, when you act, when God tells you, when the Holy Spirit moves on both of you, you guys are mighty, 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 mighty men of God. And it blesses me to watch both of you minister, you know, even Nathan with his music and Pastor with his singing. That is a gift that not many people have, is the gift to be able to sing and to play the piano like you do, Nathan, and for you, Pastor Jim, when you sing, that's a ministry to me. That mm-hmm. I mean, you both minister to me at any, you know, at that given time, you know, when the Holy Spirit says move, you guys move. And that's what is so awesome about Beacon of Hope, is that when the Holy Spirit says go, you both go. And so mm-hmm. does Pastor Marcia. It's, mm-hmm. it's amazing. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit does.
Well, thank you. And praise God. I mean, all the glory goes to God.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All he's looking for is a willing spirit.
That's right.
He's looking for someone yes. that's willing.
And
he'll use us if you're willing.
Right. Willing and obedient. And we talked to earlier, we kind of talked periodically today about the glory. And in the Old Testament, it talks about when they erected the tabernacle and the glory fell, you know, in the wilderness camp. Mm-hmm. And then the Israelites would move whenever the glory cloud lifted. That's when they'd break camp and move. Whenever the glory cloud settled, that's when they'd camp. And whether it was for a day, a week, a year, 5 years, they didn't move unless that glory cloud moved.
That's
and
right.
That is where we have, you know, we have to pray for that sensitivity. God, where are you leading us today? And I think we, you know, I know in our prayers on Sunday morning, we're praying that kind of prayer is mm-hmm. just let us go where you want us to go today.
Mm-hmm.
And just let us be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way, that's where, and not just us, because, you know, we're special, but, you know, we're not that special. But anybody, the amazing thing is anybody can have this.
That's right.
Anyone
That's
can right. operate in this
mm-hmm.
just by submitting to God and being willing to be a willing vessel.
That's right.
You know, right. God will use, and not everybody can play piano. I certainly can't. I can peck out maybe, you know, maybe the soprano and alto part on something. Mm-hmm. So that's not where God's going to use me. I mean, there are other things where he can use me, where maybe he can't use Nathan or can't use Betty. And Betty, there's places, you know, intercessory prayer. That may not be my, you know, I may not have that gift, that ministry, but you do. And each one of us, God suits our gifts to our, you know, he knows what, who we are. He knows our personalities and he suits our gifts. I think we move in those gifts that are us, and God gives us the anointing so that we can move in those gifts to be his witness to a world that so desperately needs him.
Well, and I think, do you both agree that, you know, as we progress in God's kingdom, that our gifts only get stronger? And he may give you someone to witness to, or he may have you pray for someone, or he may send someone across your path. But I've noticed that in the last few years that the gifts that he's given me, I've only gotten stronger in, praise God.
And I think part of that is we become more comfortable with whatever that gifting is.
Well, our faith grows. Our faith grows as we continue to stay in the Word and seek God's face and be obedient. Our faith grows as we see him operate through us.
You right. know,
God can use me. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Wow.
Amen.
And that is, that's, you know, sometimes I just stand in awe that when I think God uses me, you know, I'm just a piece of mud, but you know, I'm a piece of mud with the Holy Ghost living inside
amen.
Of me.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
That makes all the difference.
You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
And that makes all the difference in the world.
So it's just, it's a very, very amazing thing. So we've talked a lot this first hour about the glory of God, the great revival that's coming. So I want to spend some time in the second hour talking about things we need to keep on keeping on when it comes to being frontline freedom fighters in the end times. And so we're going to kind of be covering those when we get back. But first, I want to go to station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Listen. That always grips me. I do want to talk just for a minute before we move on about our prayer ministry. Beacon of Hope has a wonderful prayer ministry. And so if any of our listeners, if you have any prayer requests at all, please feel free to send them to prayers, plural, prayers, at bohmglobal.com. And we have a prayer team. The first kind of step in that is either myself or Carol up in Georgia will pick up the prayer request. And then we always write kind of a prayer, because we're big on believing that we should all be praying the same thing. And then we send it out to our prayer team, and we do believe, and we have gotten results.
Oh yeah.
I mean, both of you have seen results from the prayers. I've seen them. And we do ask that when, not if, but when God answers your prayer, please let us know. Because I have a special folder in my emails, just, you know, for Beacon stuff and for answer, you know, for praise reports. Because I think it's important that we let everybody know, hey,
God,
we ask about this. Yeah, and God, God answered this prayer.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And if you'd like to be a member of the prayer team, please just let us know again at prayers at bohmglobal.com. Just let us know. We'll be more than happy to add you to the prayer team. And again, I just want to say this is Jim Ellsbury. I'm associate pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And this is Living the Good Life, our radio ministry. And I'm joined today by Betty from Indiana and Nathan from Tampa, two of our regular radio team members. And it's just wonderful to have y'all on here today. And I mentioned before, Pastor Marcia, praise God she gets a day off from this. You know, sometimes you just all, you know, because she's on here almost every week. Well, praise God, she's with family today, so that's a wonderful thing. So here we are. But I want to go to our next song, which is A Glorious Day by Casting Crowns. And just kind of the whole story of Jesus. And this is going to be a good segue into our next section.
Rejoice. Oh. Rejoice. 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 Rejoice.
You know, I really love God, because that was actually supposed to be the next song, but I think I messed up. But God knew that's, you know, I got thinking as soon as I thought, oh, no, a mistake, because that obviously was second chapter of Acts, not Casting Crowns. But God knew what he was doing, because that is so perfect for where I wanted to go next. It actually fits in a little better, and I guess the Lord knew that. But, you know, God has set apart some things that we need to keep in order to be effective as frontline freedom fighters in the last days. And I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse, I believe it's 13. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And those are the three things that we have to remain effective in order to be, or we have to keep, in order to be effective as frontline freedom fighters. So I just want to run over to Luke chapter 21 and start with verse 8. Okay, Jesus said, "See that you're not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand." I think that's kind of interesting that he says the time is at hand. You know, so many people are out there saying the time is at hand, and Jesus says, don't go after them. "When you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." And he goes on to say, "Then he said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they'll lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. And this will be your opportunity to bear witness. So settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to contradict." Oof, that is so cool.
Wow.
But and it, I know we've covered kind of Matthew's version of some of those verses before, but, you know, basically it's, first of all, keeping faith in the true God, because, you know, Jesus says, "Many are going to come in my name saying, 'I am the Messiah.'" You know, I'm the Messiah. Come follow me.
Follow me.
Yeah, there I am. Follow me. And, you know, we have to be careful, because, you know, over in Matthew, it says, you know, they'll try and deceive even the elect. You know, false prophets will rise to try and deceive us. And we can never think we're above deception. You know, I like to think, you know, I'm pretty smart that way. But I always have to remember, I'm not above being deceived. Not unless I'm leaning hard on Jesus and the Holy Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, to guide me into all truth. Because there are some pretty slick imposters out there.
Yes, there is.
You know, and some that just come so close to the truth, but are so far away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because and with the gospel, it's either you have it or you don't.
Or you don't. That's right.
You know, there's no gray area when it comes to the gospel. Paul sums it up nicely in 1 Corinthians 15. "I delivered to you of utmost importance, first importance, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he rose again on the third day." Okay? I mean, that's the Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he rose again on the third day. That's kind of the gospel in a nutshell. And so many people make it, try and change all that around.
They try to say that you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to be at church every Sunday. You
right.
got to pay your tithes and offering. You got to pray this way. You got to clap your hands this way. You got to, you know, say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." You know, they give you all these things that you have to do, which are not the gospel.
Right, right. Well, yeah, very obviously, yeah. And, you know, there's all those additions to the gospel, like you said. You know, usually, you know, the cults will add something to the gospel. Like you said, something you have to do, whether you have to witness or you have to do this, that, or the other thing. And then there's, you know, some of the cults, they're trying to be respectable. They're trying to be called Christian, one of which is based in Utah. And their conception of the Godhead is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just nuts. And, you know, their conception of God, you know, as we, they're saying is, as we are, God once was. God was once mm-hmm. a man. As mm-hmm. he is, we can become. So we can all become little gods and rule mm-hmm. rule a planet. Okay, find that for me in the Bible somewhere, somebody, please.
No.
Mm-hmm. And then there's those people that, you know, the ones that say that they are Jesus or they are God. Mm-hmm. And an even more subtle form of that would be New Age, in that, you know what? You're all gods.
Mm-hmm.
You all have the Christ. I just hate that. The Christ mm-hmm. living within you. Okay, no, you don't, unless you ask him in to your heart.
That's right.
But that, again, is a deception. People think that, I'm like God. Anybody, you know, I'm like God. Ooh, I wonder where that little line came from. For the day you eat of it, your eyes you'll will be like opened.
Him. That's right.
And you'll
that's
know right. good and evil, and you'll be like God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who said that little line?
The father of lies.
Uh-huh. mm-hmm. You know, so we Oh, go ahead, Betty.
There's only in my book, you know, you can adhere to man's demands. Mm. There's only one man that I listen to, and that's the Lord God himself. Mm-hmm. If he said it, I'm going to do it. And mm-hmm. if he said it, it's true. And, mm-hmm. you know, because the Bible is the infallible word of God. And, you know, we all, one of these days, are going to answer to one God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the God that I want to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to what man has to say, but people, listen to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and what he mm-hmm. has to say, and follow him, and follow him only.
Right. Right. And that...
The thing of it is, when men come at you with their different doctrines or theologies, compare it with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that doesn't measure up, discard.
Right.
Do away with.
Right, because you know, most of the cults either took something out
mm-hmm.
or stuck something in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not what's in the Word. And the other thing I wanted to point out about this passage is, you know, again, Jesus says, don't worry, I'm in charge. You know, all these things are going to happen. But you know what? Even before we see all the big signs, they're going to hand you over to the magistrates. They're going to hand you over to the officials. And you'll be, he says, you know, you'll be hated because of my name. And, you know, we tend maybe not to think about that so much right now in the United States. We know that's going on in many other countries.
Yes, it is.
It's starting here. It truly is. You mentioned it before, that being a Christian, I think it was you, Betty, who mentioned it before, that can sometimes cost you a job. Just because, you know, depending on where you're working, and mm-hmm. that's part of it, but there's also going to come a time when our relatives, even people as close as our relatives, will betray
mm-hmm.
us.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's where we have to keep faith, to mm-hmm. keep, you know, I sound like I'm talking from the 60s, keep the faith.
Well, you know, the time is drawing near when it's going to cost you something to stand up for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like Jesus said about Paul, you know, I'm going to show him what it costs to be my, you know, my disciple.
Right.
What it costs to follow me. And the time is drawing near here in the United States when people standing up for Christ will be standing by themselves.
Right. Well, and it's already happening in some arenas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just standing up for Jesus is, well, it'd be cause for persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, There's no nice way to put that. There's no way to sugarcoat that. A little side note here. Years ago, I took one of those, you know, what are your gifts from the Holy Spirit tests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, of course, teaching was up there, and prophecy and discerning of spirits. And right up there with them was the gift of martyrdom.
Mm.
Now, that's one I'm not looking forward to using.
Mm.
Of course, you can only use it once.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's going to come a time when, yeah, we may have to be martyred.
Mm-hmm.
And my prayer is the church is ready, will be ready for that.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. my honest feeling is right now it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to think of how to say this without stepping on too many evangelical toes.
Mm.
But I subscribe to a couple of different, one's charismatic and another's just evangelical news sources. And every time something happens, all I get is this, the stories have kind of a whiny tone to them. Well, look what they did to us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you expect? You're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
The government's going to hate you because, you know, the world system hates us. Mm-hmm. And we might as well just accept that fact and stop whining about it.
That's right.
You know, it's like, then get on your knees and pray. We talked earlier about 2 Chronicles 7:14. We need to be on our knees praying because we need the strength to stand. What's that line? And it's another Casting Crown song, maybe Courageous. You know, the only way we stand is when we're on our knees.
Mm-hmm. You know, lifted hands.
I'm sorry?
I said the only way we'll stand is on our knees with lifted hands.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, on our knees with lifted hands. That is so true because that's where our strength comes from. Submitting to God, praising God, being strengthened in God. That's where our strength comes from, and that's the only way we'll be able to stand in these last days, to keep the faith in these last days. I mean, that's so, so incredibly important. And then the second one was, you know, faith, hope, and love. So the second one is hope. And Luke, and I know everybody's really familiar with this one, but Luke 21, verse 28. Now, when these things begin to take place, y'all know this one, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption draws nigh. Oh, I love that verse. So when we see all these things, you know, unlike, you know, the unsaved, who are going to like try and hide in the mountains and the caves and stuff, we can lift our heads up because we have hope. You know, we're not like, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, we're not like the unsaved, the heathen who have no hope.
That's right.
You know, we have hope of the resurrection. We have hope that Jesus is coming back. No matter how crazy the world looks, we know that Jesus is coming back. We know that it's all over from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus came the first time to bear our sins. He's coming back a second time to redeem us completely.
To take us home.
To take us home. Amen.
Amen.
And I am so looking forward to that.
I am too.
Okay.
I'm going to have to say farewell.
Oh, okay.
So I really have enjoyed being on the radio with you guys today.
Oh, we love having you on, Nathan. Thank you so much.
I love it. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit is ministering to lives as you're speaking today, and that lives will be changed and hearts will be touched.
Amen.
And that people will be added to the kingdom of God in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you
praise
so
God.
Much.
Thank you, Nathan.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I think that's a good segue into what I hope is Glorious Day by Casting Crowns. Nope. Did I put that on there twice?
No, I think it's, yeah, just I'm looking at the paper wrong.
Oh, okay.
Now let's try this again.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree, took the nails for me. He's living, he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried me, my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious.
God. There again, kind of the gospel in a nutshell, the death, the resurrection, the second coming of our Lord. And we've been talking this entire time about what our responsibilities are as frontline freedom fighters to be ready for what God has called us to do in the end times. And we've talked about, you know, keeping faithful no matter what the world looks like, remembering that God is in charge and we can trust him, even if it comes down to the point of maybe having to lay our lives down, we get a crown for that. And, you know, God calls us each to that life of submission. And then we talked about hope, you know, just lifting up our heads because our redemption draws nigh. Not, you know, we should, as we see these things happening, and it's probably not what I know my, some of my coworkers would want to hear, Betty, but it's like, you know what? Look, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. I can show you this in the Bible, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an amazing thing. And again, they may not want, you know, they may not want to hear. And of course, I would hopefully wait on the Lord to make sure I'm doing this in the right way and the right time. But, you know, I believe there's going to come a day when we're going to be able to point to a scripture in Isaiah or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Matthew or Luke and just say, see, right here it is, plain as day. God fulfilled that right now, right today. It's in the newspaper.
Well, and it's, I mean, history is being made as we speak, and it's all in God's plan. And as I was studying the scriptures that you gave us, is, you know, not everyone's going to like us. You know, we're going to be hated one way or another, whether we say the right thing or mm-hmm. we even say the wrong thing. Is that, you know, God has a purpose for us, and he wants us to fulfill it. That's his goal in our life, is he wants us to succeed. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bring the harvest in and be harvest hands for him, be
right.
an extension of him and his love, and give people hope and give people faith enough to trust in him and know that he has, I mean, that old song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Well, he does. And we just have to trust, believe, and have faith and hope. And knowing that, you know, when Jesus comes and we do see him face to face, what a glorious day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, is hoping and praying for that day to come so that, you know, we'll be reunited with those that have gone before us. And that's my hope. That's my hope and faith, is that he has me where he wants me. And you know what, Pastor Jim, it was because I said, Lord, use me, or Lord, send me. And as soon as you said that, it's like you can hear like the computer banks click on in heaven. It's like, okay, we've got another one. Here she is. Let's get her. Let's get her going. Let's move her into position now, because that's how strategically the time is right now, is that we've got to get going. We've got to get off the sidelines, and we've got to be the frontline freedom fighters that God wants us to be, because it's only getting closer, people. And like I told you at the beginning of the show, I want to be the first one on the bus. that's how close it is.
Right. I hear you. And that's so true. It just takes submitting to God, submitting to the Lordship of Jesus. And we'd mentioned in the previous segment, you know, about some of the cults and adding stuff. I think people do that because they don't want to submit, because that's too easy a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on one level, it's very hard, obviously. But, I mean, all you have to do to get saved is accept Jesus. Father, I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and was the perfect sacrifice for my sins. I believe that, Lord. And that's all it takes. And yet people will throw religious roadblocks up in front of that because it's just too easy.
Pastor Jim, do you think people get in a comfort zone that they don't want to really get out of because they're afraid of change, that they're afraid to take that step of faith because they're not really sure what the Lord wants of them? But that's where they have to have trust and obedience in believing in him and what he has predestined for us in our lives?
I think that's always part of it. It's never easy. I think, you know, the devil likes to put that fear, you know, if you submit to God and say, use me, he's going to send you to Africa to live in a mud hut. You know, I mean, that's, you know, that's just what people think. And yet there's plenty of people to witness to here. You know, he may call you to be a missionary. He just might do that. But if he calls you, he's going to equip you for that.
Amen.
You know, no matter where he calls you to be, he's going to equip you to be there, to do what you're called to do in that particular place. And that's so important. I think, yeah, I think part of it is a matter of trust or a lack of trust. I think part of it is we try to keep God, another part of it is we try and keep God in a little box. Mm-hmm. Okay, if I say that in order to be saved, I have to do this and this and this, mm-hmm. then I've got, you know, then it's my own effort. Because we have, as humans, being separated from God, I think we have a very difficult time just accepting God's love freely. You know, his love is given to us freely. I know I struggled for years, even after I got saved, with that. It was very hard for me because I grew up in a family where it was all performance-based. So that translated into my relationship with Jesus being performance-based. I thought I had to be perfect in order for him to still love me and in order for me to be useful. Now, that's a treadmill nobody needs to get on.
No. Bless your heart. Well, I came from the opposite. I came from a home where Jesus was never talked about. And so when I did find, when I finally found that at an altar, it's like I finally found someone who loves me unconditionally, who will never leave me nor forsake me. And that meant so much to me that I never, ever doubted. I wasn't say that I stepped away from him a couple of times, but it's like being called to a church in Newcastle, Indiana, you know, because when I was raised in, when I was saved, I was in a church body where, you know, women are not supposed to be, you know, ministers of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to sit quietly and not say anything. And then to be in a church, it's like, there's a church that I need you to go to because there's, something there I want you to learn or something there that you need to know to equip you for the road ahead of you. And it's like, what? Newcastle? I said, you've got to be kidding me. And that's one of the things that I get to do is I question him a lot. And then he says, Betty Lou, let's get back into alignment here.
Right, right.
And so I went to Newcastle. And so God has your steps planned out for you that will better you, that will keep your head above water in the storm, that even if the boat does get rocky, that he's always there for you. And his love is unconditional.
Amen.
And his love endures forever.
Amen.
And thank goodness for him, because I don't know where this vessel would be if it had not been for the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that he has for me.
Amen. Amen. And that's the last thing I did want to talk about was the last, you know, one thing we have to keep in order to be effective as a frontline freedom fighter for the Lord in the last days is love. And I remember the day I got the rhema word on this little passage of scripture. You could have knocked me over with a feather. In Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 9, they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And pay careful attention to this, because lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved.
Amen.
Now, I looked at that, and all of a sudden it hit me. I looked up the Greek word there for love, and it's agape.
Amen.
And that hit me right between the eyes. God's not talking about heathen here, the unsaved, their love, you know, growing cold. He's talking about the Christian's love growing cold.
Yes.
Because that word, the Greek word agape, is only used of God's love and God's love in us. That's the only time that that particular Greek word is used. Otherwise, he could have used, you know, a couple of other Greek words for love, but he chose God's love. And because of that, because of the increase in lawlessness, and, you know, I'll be honest, I've caught myself getting hardened sometimes. And praise God, the Holy Spirit points it out and says, okay, look at Matthew 24 again. Because we look around at all the lawlessness, all the crime, all the corruption in politics, and all the everything, you know, all just kind of like a hardness is spreading across the land. And Jesus said, because of that, people's hearts are going to grow cold. Their love is going to die. And what scares me so much is, you know, we watch a lot of the crime shows on Investigation Discovery and such. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've seen people, you know, supposedly Christian people saying, I'll never forgive. I'll never forgive that criminal for whatever they did to my family. And I've not been in those shoes, and I'm not going to stand here, you know, I'm not going to sit here and boast that, oh, I'd be very forgiving, because I don't know. I pray I would be. But what I do know is if I let that lawlessness kill my love and I'm not able to forgive, then I'm not going to go an inch further with God.
Well, I think you're exactly right, because even if a crime has been prevented or a crime has prevailed, and it's just like with a loss of a loved one or a loss of a grandchild that happened to us several months, you know, a couple of months ago.
Right.
Is that, aren't you mad at God? You know, why, how can you still praise a God that took your grandson? And it's like, because I love him. I love him enough to know that he had a purpose. And had I have not prayed through this, had I had not been, and because this is front line right here, people, when you're talking about being mad at God for something that he did, that you think he did to you, and not forgive him, and then have someone look at you and say, well, aren't you mad at God? It's like, no, I ask him why, but he told me that he had a purpose. He had a purpose for Grayson. He has a purpose for everything that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's out of our hands, and when we do give him full control, Pastor Jim, things work so much smoother. Our road is not as bumpy. And it's because he loves us. He loved us enough that God sent his son to die on the cross for us. To me, that was the greatest love that could be ever seen, is to have someone give up their son for me. And give up so much just for me. I mean, and for you and for our listeners. But it took me many, many years to understand that what God is doing is for my benefit and
right.
for my good. And mm. to let him have control. And I'm not a control freak, but there's things that, you know, I like to drive, but he's a much better driver than I am.
Mm-hmm. That's very, you know, that's so true. And again, Betty, you're just wonderful at this. A perfect segue into our last song, a very old, well, not like 30 years now, over 30 years old, but it remains one of my favorites. There Is a Redeemer by Keith Green.
There is a redeemer. was God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. The work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see His face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, Lord, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done.
I love that song, and that, again, pretty much sums up so much of what we talked about today. We have a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. No one else could have done what Jesus did. We've talked a lot about end time prophecy, but Jesus fulfilled so many of the prophecies. There's nobody else, for our listeners, there's just nobody else that could have been the Messiah except Jesus. You know, God, all through the Old Testament, spoke to, well, from actually Adam and Eve all the way through to Malachi, and gave them all these prophecies about the coming Messiah. And Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies relating to the Messiah's first appearance on earth, where he was to be born, which tribe he would be from, that he would be a son of Abraham, a son of Isaac, a son of Jacob, and a son of Judah. Jesus fulfilled all that. He fulfilled where he was to be born. And in Daniel was given the prophecy of when he was going to be born.
Yeah.
No one else. I mean, and I don't have it right in front of me, but it's astronomical. In the quad quintillions that one person could have fulfilled all of those. And that's just his birth. His ministry, prophecies concerning the ministry of the Messiah. His death, burial, and resurrection. Only one person is fulfilled, could have, and did fulfill all those prophecies. And that's Jesus, the Son of God. And Betty, you had mentioned it before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And, dear listeners, it's so important that you understand that God loves you enough that he gave. He let Jesus go to the cross. And Jesus himself said, greater love has no man than this, but that he would lay down his life for his friends. And that's what happened. Jesus laid down his life for all of us. And he rose again, kind of sealing the deal with the resurrection. And now he's going to come back for us because he loves us. He will come back for us, not just to take our spirits, but to give us brand new bodies. That's how much God loves us. And we've been talking about that today, that we, for our listeners who are believers, we've got to spend our time in the things of God, not the things of the world. We need to spend our time moving on with God because the time is short. You know, time's running out. We don't know how much time we have. I don't think it's very much, but I know there's some things that still need to happen before Jesus comes back, but they could happen tomorrow. You know? And for those who might be listening who don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you. Just ask him. Just ask him. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. And don't think you have to do it with fancy words, because you don't. And here in a few minutes, I'd like to lead you all in a prayer to ask Jesus into your heart. And it doesn't have to be in fancy words. You don't have to pray in King James English. You know, it's mostly because it comes from your heart. Mm-hmm. Because you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. That's all there is to it. You believe that God has raised him from the dead. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And Paul says you're saved. That's all it takes. Nothing big and fancy. It's just believing that God has raised him from the dead, because he is the risen Lord. So I just want to lead you all in a prayer for salvation. So just repeat with me. If you want to ask Jesus into your heart, just repeat this prayer along with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I come before you acknowledging that I am a sinner, but I believe that you are indeed the Messiah, the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose again in victory. Lord Jesus, I turn from my sins. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to come into my heart. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If any of you have asked Jesus into your heart, then I would encourage you. You can let us know. You can either write to Pastor Marcia at pastor@bohmglobal.com, or you can write me, Pastor Jim, at bohmglobal.com. Let us know. And please let us know again if there's anything you need, because we have the prayer line. We're more than happy. You know, we're not just willing to pray. We're happy about it. We'd love to pray.
Amen.
And because we know God moves and God answers. And we're happy. We're happy about that. So
amen.
Betty, any final thoughts?
Well, as you were praying, the Lord laid upon just a small scripture, nothing long, nothing intense, but it just says, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And if you did accept Christ into your life, God bless you. Seek out a place that worships God and believes in his word,
mm-hmm.
and a place that offers you the ability to be you, and to the ability to help you grow in Christ, and to help you understand that what you said will change your life forever. That
yeah.
prayer that you prayed with Pastor Jim, that, you know, we are children of God, and children of God are, we're King's kids. We are, it doesn't make us any better, but it gives us a place to know that our salvation, that is, we're free. And I would encourage you to get a hold of Pastor Jim or Pastor Marcia at bohmglobal.com. And if you have questions, that they will be glad to answer. And God bless you for giving your life to Christ. And
amen.
Welcome to the family of God.
Amen. Amen. And I just have to say a big amen and agreement with what you said, Betty. It's so important. I kind of mentioned it before. I got saved like every year at church camp when I went as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never explained to me. There was never any follow-up. And, you know, so by the time the next year rolled around, I was convinced I was unsaved. And so that's why follow-up is so important, because I didn't have any follow-up. I didn't get into the Bible. I didn't hear, unfortunately, a lot of Bible preaching. So I just kept doing the same thing year after year until, almost 41 years ago when I was 18. You know, I knew what I was doing, and I accepted Jesus into my heart and moved with, you know, just stayed with him, got into good church, got reading the Bible. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, because that's where your power comes from. Jesus promised you power.
Amen.
He said, you know, you'll be clothed with power, dynamite, as Pastor likes to say, from on high. And that's such an important thing. So don't let it drop. Keep walking with God. It's too important to let go. And I just want to thank everyone who's listening and remind you this has been Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope. Again, we meet in Clearwater, Florida at 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North. Please go to our website, and there's a good map on there. I'm not good at giving directions, so please go to the website for the directions. But again, we meet at 10:30 on Sunday mornings for our Sunday morning service. Lots of praise and worship, lots of word, lots of ministry. Betty, you can attest to that. I can certainly attest to that.
Amen.
You know, people come in one way and leave another.
It's awesome too, Pastor Jim, that if they have, if they need additional resources, that, you know, Beacon of Hope, in their resource on the web, has shows
mm-hmm.
that are titled, maybe for a need that you might have, that it's available 24/7, you know, 365 days a year. So use that resource as a help for you to listen to Pastor Marcia and Pastor Jim's radio messages that could minister to you, or in anything that you would need help with is available to them.
Right. They're up there. Just go to our webpage and look under the radio tab. And this program will be on probably by tomorrow afternoon. And it's so cool because they're all there until Jesus
yes.
comes. So that's very, very cool. And again, I would encourage you, I mean, because they are titled, so you can kind of get an idea of what we talked about. And go see, just maybe rummage through. And, well, that's a Hoosier term, isn't it? Rummage through. Through them and just see if anything, you know, kind of sticks out or meets, you know, maybe talks about a need that you might have. Also, just a reminder, we have a prayer meeting at 6:15 on Wednesdays, and we also have Bible study starting at 7:00 on Wednesday evenings. Wonderful time of fellowship. Just a great time to get into the Word, to break it open, to really feast on the Word. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful time. But I just want to, again, encourage our listeners to continue on with Jesus. Keep walking with Him. He's there to help. He's there to meet your every need, no matter how big or how small. And like Betty had mentioned before, you know, it's okay to be mad at God. It's okay to ask Him why. You know, I had a period of time when I was really mad at God. But you know what? He drew me out of that, drew me back into Himself. So,
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Well, this is Pastor Jim, Associate Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. I've been all today with Betty from Indiana. So wonderful to have you on, Betty. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody again soon. And again, just remember, we've talked about it basically all this entire time. You know, it's not far to Jesus. He's right here.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.